Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us read together the watchword for the week that's printed in the bulletin. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. We welcome Marie Kautz to be with us today for our service. And you can refer in your bulletin to the items that are coming up in the next few weeks. Grace in the Valley is this Saturday, and Linda Bonnell has extra tickets. If anybody would like to get some from her, they could get them after the service today. I know there are several things out in the Narthex that need to be signed up for, some things for the installation coming up in a couple weeks, cleaning schedule, mowing schedule, ushers and greeters, and a few other things. So please see what's out there, and also VBS donations out there too. Does anyone have any other announcements? If not, then let's stand up and turn to page 553 for our opening hymn.
Thank you.
remain standing and greet each other in Christian fellowship. Please remain standing and turn to page 139 in your book of worship. Please stand. Nations. Exalt him, all you peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live upon it. Let all people everywhere know that the Supreme God has power over the human kingdom and that he can give it to anyone he chooses, even to the least important. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faith. Almighty God, ruler of nations, to whose grace we owe the manifold blessings of this land, we worship you with grateful hearts. We confess that in many ways we have turned aside from your commandments, and it is because of your steadfast love that we are not consumed. You offer us mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against you and have not obeyed your command to walk in your laws, which you have set before us. Lord, have mercy on us and blot out our transgressions. We pray, Lord, that you will guide and bless us. We pray, Lord, that you will guide and bless all who are in places of authority. Protect them from violence and fill the hearts of the people with respect and love for them, because you have established their authority. Raise up for us leaders who will carry out all your purpose and, in patience and courage, will depend on you. Make of this nation an instrument for the promotion of peace, freedom, and righteousness. May it be a haven for the oppressed of other lands, a home of happiness for all who dwell within its borders, and may our commitment to liberty and justice for all be preserved for the generations to come. Hear us, gracious Lord and God. Guide us and our leaders through the spirit of Christ's love as we struggle with matters of teaching and learning, home and family, health and security, work and justice. Turn the hearts of all people to you, that they may seek eternal life through Jesus Christ, who redeems us and our world. Hear us, gracious Lord and God. Grant wisdom to those who are of the family of faith. Enable us to accept the authority of government for your sake, ready for every good work, abstaining from every form of evil, and paying to all whatever is due them. As citizens of this nation, may we bring credit to our Savior in all we do. Hear us, gracious Lord and God. Grant to the people of this and all other lands a love of peace and order, that the nation shall learn war no more. Hasten the day when our kingdom of the world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Hear us, gracious Lord and God. Amen. Please stand. Time we share the prayers of the people. Bob Henning is starting treatments in Cleveland for his cancer, and also prayers for the youth and adults who are at Convo this week. We'll conclude our prayer with the Lord's Prayer, which can be found on page 4 of your book of worship. Let us pray. God of everlasting love, you generously provide all things for us. We pray for people everywhere. Make your way known to them, your saving power among all nations. We pray for the welfare of your church here on earth. Guide and govern it by your good spirit so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed in body, mind, or circumstances. Relieve them according to their needs, give them patience in their sufferings, and deliver them from all their afflictions. All this we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Will the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
The assigned scripture lessons for today come first from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 to 23, and I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. But just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. The advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And our gospel lesson from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Please turn to hymn 582 as we sing verses 1 through 3. Before I begin the message, I just want to make a couple comments about what's happening in our county on Saturday. I know that Becky shared with you that the event taking place at the PAC this Saturday. I wanted to give you a little background to that because it really is going to be something quite extraordinary. In 1783, the governor of North Carolina declared that the state should celebrate the 4th of July. But he suggested, actually, his proclamation said that they were to set apart the day from bodily labor and employ the same in devout and religious exercises. Well, despite his proclamation for the state, the only group that celebrated that 4th of July were the Moravians in Salem, North Carolina. And as the diary of that event reads, it was a time of prayerful rejoicing for the end of the conflict. And actually, the special cantata was written for that day. And it was called A Psalm of Joy. And that will be performed this Saturday from, and Nancy, correct me, I think it's the college, Central Moravian Church Choir is coming in, and Dover First and some other churches. So if you have time, I think it would be a wonderful opportunity to hear that cantata that was designed for that day. The end of that diary record reads, following the final worship service of the day at 8 p.m., the people assembled in front of the church, and led by trombones, they marched in a torchlight procession through the town, singing chorales, and then they dismissed with the blessing of the Lord and returned to their homes with hearts filled with the peace of God. So there's a little of our history for the 4th of July. Now, the entire 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, we find Jesus preparing his disciples for ministry without him. And in the first verse of that chapter, and to understand today's passage, we have to kind of back up to the beginning of that chapter, because in the first verse it says that Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and cure every disease and every sickness. But then the second verse says this, and these are the names of the 12 apostles. And then it goes on to list them. But note that in the first line, they are called disciples, which means follower. And in the second line, they are called apostles, which means to be sent out. So those 12 were not called simply to follow Jesus and learn about God so that they would have all this head knowledge and could call themselves wise, but they were called to follow Jesus so that they could be sent out to do, to put to use all that head knowledge as they ministered in Jesus' name, and they were driven by a heart of love, a heart of compassion, and a heart of obedience. So in this chapter, the loving teacher is preparing them for what they should do, where they should go, and the difficulties and dangers of serving in his name. So today's lesson then begins with the final verses of this chapter. And he closes this way, and listen to these again. And attaboy, Paula, that was very good. And here, you heard it from, when I read the scripture, you heard it from Paula, and now you're going to hear it again. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Now, actually, I think this passage may sound a little bit like a riddle, but when Jesus said these words, he was speaking in a way that the Jews would understand before they regularly spoke that way. The Jews always felt that to receive a person's messenger was the same as receiving the person who sent the message. In other words, just like today, we have ambassadors to other countries, and they represent the country, and the host country treats them as just as they would treat the country they represented. So there's a real similarity there. So now, you're going to hear it one more time. I'm going to read that passage again with a little adaptation and some inserts. Whoever welcomes you, Paula, Denny, Angie, Becky, the rest of you, welcomes me, Jesus. And whoever welcomes me, Jesus, welcomes the one who sent me, God. Do you see that we then jump to the end of the passage here? Because then he says, and whoever even offers a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, and the little ones represent those who are new to the faith, not little children, but those who were young in the faith. And whoever offers that cup in the name of a disciple. Now, and the passage goes on. Who are the disciples? Well, now we're going to go back to the beginning of that chapter. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Paula, Denny, Angie, Becky, you. And that's the phrase. Even a cup of water given in the name of a disciple. And that's the phrase that kept gnawing at me this week. This passage is really very simple and very lovely. Now we know that we cannot all be the same kind of servants to God. Not everyone can be a preacher, not everyone can be a teacher, not everyone can take the roles of those who are very visible. But all areas of ministry are needed. And I think this passage shows that those servants of God who are frequently behind the scenes, those quiet servants whose ministry is never in the public eye, are as important and as needed as the ones who serve in very visible roles. And I think that that's the meaning of the cup of cold water. We might think that our ministry role is as simple and easy and no more difficult than giving someone a cup of water. And we might think that that action is insignificant. But Jesus placed an emphasis of importance on this by noting that it was a cup of, not just a cup of water, a cup of cold water. And to get cold water in those days took great effort. You had to travel to the well. You lowered the bucket deep into the well to draw up that cold spring water. And then you had to travel back to the person in need. So it seems to me that this reference to a cup of cold water is a call to note that no ministry is insignificant because it is as important as that hard-to-come-by cold water. Remember, there is no ministry in Jesus' name or for Jesus that begins with the word just. We don't just change a light bulb in the church. We don't just take dinner to a family in need. We don't just cut up strawberries for the strawberry festival. We don't just pray for someone. We serve and respond in the name of the one who calls us. And the close of this passage indicates to me that when we serve in any capacity, it isn't just serving in Jesus' name. It is as if Jesus himself is doing the serving. Now, we talk a lot about we're the hands and feet of Christ, and we get that. But if we view our service as Jesus himself doing that service, I think that changes everything. Note again the closing verse of today's passage. Whoever gives even, note the word even. I had to wonder, why is the word even there? Why is the word cold there? Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, in the name of a disciple. Jesus doesn't say, whoever gives this cup of water in my name. Jesus says, whoever gives this cup of water in the name of a disciple. And Jesus, with that phrase, is indicating a direct line, a continuum rather than a ladder. If the disciples were welcomed, it was exactly as if Jesus was welcomed. If a cup of cold water was given to one young in the faith in the name of a disciple, it was given by Jesus. And when we serve, if we truly think of ourselves as Jesus doing the serving, When you cut those strawberries, it's Jesus cutting them. It places new importance on the ministry before us and the ministry we do. Many years ago, my niece's son, Ethan, and his younger sister, Claire, and Claire was 2 years younger than Ethan, they were attending an Episcopal church with their parents, and on that particular Sunday that they were there, there was a bishop who was presiding at the service, and he came wearing all of those glorious robes and the tall cap. And when the service ended, of course, they left the church, and they greeted the bishop as they were going out the door. And as they're heading down the steps from the church, Claire turned to her brother Ethan and said, "Ethan, was that Jesus?" And Ethan, who was 2 years older and much wiser, looked at her and disgustedly said, "Oh, no, Claire, Jesus wears sandals." But by today's passage, Claire really was correct. Yeah, that was Jesus. Someone serving in Jesus' name whose message was to be received as coming directly from Jesus. But the most notable thing for us in this passage is that it isn't about serving with words. It's about serving as Jesus served, with actions. My guess is this weekend most of us are involved in celebrating the 4th of July in some form. And this celebration brings opportunity for many speeches, speeches that contain some pretty remarkable words, words like, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," from the Declaration of Independence. Or words like, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." And words like, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door," inscribed on the Statue of Liberty. Well, all of these words represent the ideals that we believe in, and they were intended to form who we are as a country, not by the eloquent words written, but by the actions and behaviors those words challenge us to put into action. Words provide the directions for the actions and behaviors we are to enact as citizens in this country. Words are important. I love to read. I cherish written words. But in the documents I just quoted, whether in speeches or on billboards, they are just words. Until we put those words into action, they have very little meaning. And Jesus knew the importance of passing along valuable words. So today's gospel lesson gives us words. But again, these words are merely the recipe for service. They are the preamble to our call to action. So let us today go forward from this place carrying our own cold drink of water into the world, noting that the cup of cold water represents our ministries large and small, and remembering that throughout the scriptures, water is used as a symbol for life, refreshment, renewal, and cleansing, just as your ministry can and will do. Your ministry in whatever form is important. And as you look ahead to sharing in ministry with a new pastor, take time to reflect on what your cup of ministry might look like and where will you serve, remembering always that you serve in Christ's place and in his name. And may he always bless and direct our service. Amen. Please turn to hymn 622. And please stand. To respond to the needs and cares of the world and be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, for you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen.
Thank you.